Good morning. What a powerful song. Isn't that song an awesome song? See, that song is awesome, but it's not as awesome as the God that we serve. Our God is an awesome God. That's the title of this message today. Isn't it true that our God is an awesome God? You know, see, it doesn't even matter if we acknowledge it. It doesn't stop him from being awesome. But we do very well if we understood how awesome he was. How's your life doing today? Do you recognize how awesome your God is? Let's look over in Psalm 104, please. When you think of God, what immediately comes to your mind? Give me some thoughts. Incredible. Powerful. All-knowing. Merciful. Gracious. Righteous. Amazing. See, these are the thoughts of created beings with finite minds. Wait until we see an infinite God. Wait till we come before the presence of God Almighty. That is going to be an amazing day. Psalm 104, starting in verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth." You know, when we look at nature and we see his splendor, it is very easy to see how awesome God is. Yesterday, the middle schoolers and the teens went out to Stone Mountain. You know, we were looking over God's creation. We made it up. I even made it up there. That was amazing. Our God is an awesome God. And we get up there and we're looking over God's creation, and it is so easy to see who God is. You know, we were talking about it. It's like we call this Stone Mountain. God calls it Stone Pebble. We look at the world. Stone Mountain is not all that big. It's a mile up and a mile down, and you're done. It's the only mountain, I think, in the world that we can do it in 2 hours. And we still call it a mountain. Do you see, things are we look at things through our perspective. To God, that's not a mountain. To God, it's a molecule. To my children, it probably was the biggest hike they ever had in their life because their legs are about yay big. To a guy like me who's a tad overweight, man, it was far. But we made it. We had a great time. You know, we could sit here and talk about Mount Everest. We could sit here and talk about God's creation. And I could easily help you see. I could put up things on the screen and show you the wonders of God. I'm not going to do that. What I want you to do is look at yourself. I want you to look around you and see the wonders of God throughout this auditorium this morning. See, God displays his wonder, his awesomeness through us. How big is your God this morning? How big is your God this morning? Turn over to 2 Timothy. You know, we can sit here all day and talk about the awesomeness of God, but before we do, I want to give you a warning from the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says verse 1. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. You know, when we look at all the sins that listed, we could add some, right? We could add some about disrespecting God during the service as we sit in the back and talk. God sees you, y'all, and I see you from up here, too. So I'd appreciate it if you paid attention up here, please. We need to give God the respect he's due. Amen? Amen. It said, but mark this, there will be terrible times. Who's seen CNN this week? Who's looked at any news channel this week? We are living in terrible times. You don't even got to go to CNN. Open your door and walk out. And there are terrible times all around us. Children disobeying their parents. You don't think that's terrible? God feels differently about that. Being abusive. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive. Verse 5 says, have a form of godliness, but denying its power. God sees that as sin. Knowing there's a God. In James it says that the demons know there's a God and they shudder. At last time I checked, demons aren't going to heaven. I think that still applies. Do you have a sense of godliness in your life, but have no power? When you walk down the street, disciple, do the demons fear you? When the demons in your friends or in your family or that are just roaming, when they see you, do they see somebody different? Or do they just clump you in with the rest of the world? See, the demons need to know your name. When they see you, they mean, oh, hold up. Why are you coming at me before the appointed time? I'm serious. I'm not speaking science fiction or mumbo jumbo. I'm talking some serious stuff, guys. How big is your God today? When you go through problems, who do you go to? Do you call your BFF? Some of you don't even know what that is. Trust me, I didn't know until 2 days ago. Ms. Zachy said it. I was like, what's a BFF? Best friend forever. Do you call a human being? Is that the immediate speed dial do you hit? Or do you get on your knees and pray to God who can actually do something for you? Your friend can't do nothing but listen. And half the time give you bad advice about it. Come on, y'all, let's be real. Read the book of Job if you think I'm joking. It is great. We need advice. We need each other. That's why we're in a community called the church. But if you don't go to God first, who's your daddy? Who's your father? Who has all the marbles in the universe? Who can actually impart the sea? Who can do all these great things? When you're in pain and you're hurting and you need encouragement, who do you go to first? I pray it's God. Your friends can hold you and sympathize with you. Your husband, your wife, fantastic people. You better go to God first. Because he's our number one relationship. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. When you sing that, who are you singing to? I convict you. Were you even singing today? Our God is an awesome God. For the last couple of months, I've been on a journey to see how awesome God is. You know, I love doing God's work, but I cannot love His work more than I love Him. So I've been really reaching out, praying to God, going to Him first with everything. When I confess it to Him first, then I call some of y'all up. When I'm hurting, I go to Him first. Then I'll seek input and counsel. My relationship is with God first. I love Him. I couldn't imagine my life without Him. Can you say the same? I know that many of you can. We are a church that loves God. We are a church that has a high standard, and it's called the Bible. And we're going to continue to have that high standard. We can't wait for a building to make that happen. The building is gravy. It is icing on a delicious cake, but it ain't the cake. The cake is our relationship with God. Does God just flat fire you up? Does God just get your juices flowing? Just God, nothing else but God. Do you get excited to do your quiet times? Do you get excited to go up, come into His presence? Do you get excited at just the thought of, man, we got church tomorrow? I can't wait. Let me get my mind ready. Let me get my mind prepared. You know, I try to do that before I do a lesson or do a prayer or, you know, a sermon. Last night, walked away from the TV, said, you know, guys, I'm going to just go. I need to go pray. I want to get my mind set right. You know, I need to do that even if I don't preach. We need to have time to set our minds. Do you realize whose presence you're coming in front of? You're not coming in front of no joker. You're not coming in front of your best friend. You're coming in front of God Almighty, who knows your thoughts and attitudes and judges them. How big is your God today? Do you still have that awe of Him? When you first became a Christian, it's like, woo, you don't know my daddy. You don't know who I roll with. You don't know who has my back. You better not play with me. Because I can't do much, but He can. Do you have that confidence? I used to be a very insecure person. Very shy person. But with God, I can do all things through Christ who enables me. You have that same power. Are you tapping in that power? Are you a Sunday, Thursday Christian? Maybe you come to Bible Talk. Maybe you don't. Maybe I'll reach out for a discipling partner. Maybe I won't. Where are you today with God? Guys, the church could come up with all these type of rules, commandments, and all this stuff. But if you don't love God and don't want to be here, it won't matter. No one can force you into a love relationship with God. Guys, we need to really push our relationship with God to the next level. Turn over to 1 Timothy. Do you know that your names are written in the book of life? Okay, no. You didn't hear that. You really didn't. You didn't hear that. Either you didn't hear it or you don't believe it. Your names are written in the book of life. Some of you guys are in my phone book. So what? You are in God's book of life. Give me some amens on that. Does that fire you up? Does it? I didn't get nothing at first. See, God doesn't want fake. If it takes you a minute to catch up, I'm with you. I'm kind of slow, too. I'm not calling you slow. Well, yeah. But I understand that sometimes it takes us a minute to realize what we have. You know, usually when we don't realize what we have, it's when we're about to lose it. Look at all the divorces in the world. People crying because they've been served papers. Why? Because they didn't realize what they had. And then they wish they could keep it. When our children are going off to college, and the black boy was a knucklehead, man, I can't wait. When he's 18, I'm going to throw a party. And when he's walking out the door, you're sitting there with tears in your eyes, and you can't even contain yourself. Guys, we don't recognize what we have until we lose it. Let you not lose your relationship with God to find out how awesome he is. 1 Timothy 1, let's look at verse 12. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the gospel, in the Bible. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I once was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. He is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. See, I think this is one of Paul's greatest lessons that he gave young Timothy. He talked about all his sins. He was open, vulnerable. But I believe that he was displaying God's power in such an amazing way. See, so many times we want to be so religious. We want to look good. You know who I think looks good? People that confess their sins. I think they look fantastic. Why? Because they're fighting for their relationship with God. The Bible says when we confess our sins, we pray for one another so that we can receive healing. It doesn't say you receive forgiveness. We need to go to God for the forgiveness. We need to come to each other for the community, for the support. Are y'all confessing your sins? Are you confessing your sins? I pray that we don't have Aikens running around here messing up the camp. We need to be open with our lives, guys. This is the safest place that you can ever be. And when it's not safe, you bring in another brother or another sister and you talk about that and you fix it, because we are imperfect people. But Paul here is telling Timothy, look at me. I'm a persecutor. I'm a violent man. But God showed me all this so that he, through his grace, he can show everybody how abundantly he can give grace. When you look at Paul, what do you say? He was an awesome man of God. When you look in the room here, what do you see? Awesome men and women of God. See, you don't always have to look at the mountains, at the whales, and all that kind of stuff. It's awesome to look at. I love that stuff. You only need to look next to you to see how awesome God is. We display God's grace and his awesomeness. Do you believe that? Do you encourage each other with that? Do you encourage each other with your past? Do you get together and just have just open talks about, man, this is who I used to be? Guess what? Who I used to be is trying to creep up behind me again. I need some help. You know when you're doing really well with God? Is when you butt up right next to him. You don't let nothing get in between you and God. And you're just like, look, get away from me. I'll have my quiet time. Oh, you selfish. You know, whatever. I'm having my time with the Lord. He's my number one. When you love your children, but you say, you know, guys, right now I'm praying. Would you like to pray with me? No? Okay, I'll be with you in a little bit. The other day I was, summer for us is very hectic because your children are out of school. So your children become our children. And we're running around doing stuff, love it. But we had a quiet moment in all that fun. And my kids are playing the Wii, and I'm over making some breakfast. And I stopped, and I was, you know, while I was cooking, I was thinking about lessons. I was thinking about different things. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm over here planning for studies that I had later on in the day, planning for Bible talk, and my children are playing the Wii. Mario is influencing my children more than I am. They're up to World 5. Guess what? That takes a little time. You know what I'm saying? I turn around in my great wisdom and spirituality. Actually, I caught up finally. And I said, guys, turn off the TV, grab your Bibles, and we're going to talk about some stuff. And they came inside, and one of them wasn't so fired up. You took Mario away from me, Dad. How dare you? So I asked my child, I don't want to give him away. You got a 50-50 shot here. And he said, It was the Bible coming alive to me. He turned around and said to me, I want to, but I don't want to. I said, what? Did you read Romans? You read that scripture, didn't you? He said, Dad, I don't know. I just want to, but there's part of me that doesn't want to. I said, what should you do? He goes, want to. I said, cool. So we're going to do it, whether you want to or not. We did it. We sat down for about 20 minutes, and, you know, I didn't create any theologians in that time, but they loved it. They enjoyed it. They walked away, ran up to their mom, and told them about it. They said, we need to do this more often. So we did it 2 days later. We did another scripture. You know, excuse me. God is an awesome God. When our relationship is close with Him, we want to share Him with everybody. That includes our children. You know, when we talk about, have you shared your faith today? What are you doing as far as your outreach? You don't got to even go outside your door. Are you sharing with your children? Are you sharing with your spouse? Are you sharing with your extended family, wherever they may be? Guys, if our God is an awesome God, He is bigger than our location. Gwinnett County has about maybe 800,000 people. In the two churches we have in Gwinnett County, we have about 500 disciples. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. But our God is an awesome God. It's not us doing it, it's Him doing it. Turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 14. It says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and how deep and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See, this is what we have available to us. We have available to us the power of God. It is time for us to ask God to unleash that power through us. Not just through us, but through all generations. This summer has been an amazing summer with the teens. Teens have been giving their lives over to God. Teens have been pursuing God. Teens are studying the Bible now. Teens are ready to get baptized soon. Teens are flat out fired up for God in our church. This is the next generation that we're handing the church over to. Are you part of that process? We need mentors for them. We need disciples just to say hi to them and talk to them more about more than just school. They are not junior disciples. They are full-fledged members. They got the same card you got. None. There ain't no membership cards up in here, but the Bible. They have to follow the exact Bible you follow. Treat them with respect as disciples. And call them to that standard. They need it, and they thrive on it. We have a little discipleship group of those who are baptized Christians and those who are studying the Bible right now, and we meet pretty much every other Sunday. I asked them, I said, okay, the summer's almost over. We're probably going to phase this out. They're like, you ain't phasing nothing out. We got to figure out a way to keep this thing going. They want to be fed spiritually. Dare I try to cancel a Bible talk? I will get jumped in a spiritual way through emails and stuff like that. They're not violent. But they no! I want Bible talk. All right, cool, let's have a movie during the Bible talk. No, I want a lesson with some Bible in that thing. Don't give me no Bible talk light. I want to know about Jesus. Guys, I implore you as the church. It takes a village to raise a child, right? It takes a church to raise up the next generation of leaders. Guys, we have amazing teams that are very much leaders in the making. We also had great interns this summer. An amazing young man and an amazing young woman that have sacrificed their lives this summer to our teens. The money they made, they could have made much more someplace else. They spent most of that money on gas anywhere, picking up our teens. Their heart to serve us was exemplary. Their heart to even get the intern position was inspiring. They didn't even ask about the money. They just wanted to be here to get it done. They wanted to learn. They wanted to do great things for God. So right now, if these guys could come up here, Faishan and Kendall. Sit over there with Faishan. All right. Let's not let their heads get too big. Let me tell you a little bit about each one of them before we honor them. Kendall is a man after God's heart. I don't use that very lightly. When I first met him, didn't know him well at all. He came in for the interview, and I was talking to him about finances, talking to him about responsibilities. He just wanted to know, when can I start? I want to get in there with these guys. I want to learn. Will you teach me? And he's done nothing but that the whole summer. Getting together with our teens, being in crazy amounts of studies, picking them up, dropping them off, without one complaint. He has yet to this day complained about anything he's done. I remember that, I knew I was preaching today, but I usually don't like to do the teen class and preach at the same time because I'm not that bright. But so I emailed him last night, last minute. I was like, hey, bro, I'm really sorry. Can you come up with a lesson? He typed back, no, do it yourself. No, he didn't do that at all. He had such a great heart. He was like, no problem. And he killed it this morning. It was amazing. Very much the teens were inspired, and they gave. It was fantastic. I wish we could keep them. Faishan, homegrown Faishan. From our own congregation. It is a joy that she's been here. I didn't know Faishan very well either. But during the summer, we've become very close. You can't help it when she's in my house all the time. But I'm joking. I love having her at my house. I love my daughter having influence by Faishan. Faishan has given her heart over to the girls in an incredible way. And you would do well to know her. And before she leaves, to try to get some of her wisdom And I'm really proud of these guys. I appreciate them so much. Thank you so much for the service you guys have done this summer. And let's give them another hand of Give me a hug. Thank you. Guys, our God is an awesome God. Let us remember that. Let us live like that. Let that inspire us to do amazing things for God today. To God be the glory. Amen.